Yeah, check it out. This is your boy Akon, and right now you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Hitmaker Akon has been dominating the Billboard charts and tearing up airwaves for two decades, just celebrating the 20th anniversary of his debut album, Trouble, which launched him to global fame. Now he's taking over TikTok with his latest smash, Akon's Beautiful Day. The uplifting anthem soared to number one on TikTok's top 50, also debuting at number 38 on Billboard's pop airplay, his 26th career entry and first in over a decade. The star sat down with us in the Life Minute studios to talk all about the new track, his Akon Super Fan Tour, co-producing documentary Headliners Only with Kevin Hart, and more. This is a Life Minute with the one and only Akon.
Well, thank you for being here today. I'm such a fan. Beautiful Day is blowing up. Tell us about why this song, story behind it.
I wanted to capture the most positive energy that we can in this time, this day and age. But this song was pretty much created to be the anthem of positivity. As you know, the world is all over the place right now. We cannot say that we're comfortable right now. It's just so negative in so many different ways, man. I just feel like the world needed something that can uplift them, something that they can hear that'll get them into a very warm, happy space. And Akon's Beautiful Day hopefully will become that for them.
And it's a beautiful day, but it's also right. Election day.
It's going to be a beautiful day for depending on who wins.
It feels so divided. Do you have any advice, how to, this song's so positive, how we can move forward?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the context of the song, it says, just be thankful for everything. The good, the bad, the rain, the shine, the snow, whatever the case may be. Like, when you look at life in general, oftentimes when you think that something is bad is happening, it's often happening for a good purpose. And you never really know what's happening until the end, because even when you're going through challenges in your life, you're not realizing you're being prepared for something bigger. But mainly the whole idea of this song is to understand that no matter how bad you think things are, there's someone out there that got it worse. So we need to take the time to really appreciate the things in front of us and really pay attention to how blessed we really are.
And it really seems like it's resonating with fans.
What surprised me the most was how quick the younger generation caught on. See all these shares on TikTok and it being number one on TikTok and the most created and shared content on there is like, wow. That shows that the world is really was yearning for something nice like this.
And there's some nods to your other hits in the song, which I love.
It's kind of a thing that I'm doing with my new album. The new album is called Not Guilty. It'll be dropping in February. Within the whole album, there'll be little nuggets where I'm actually referencing myself from a different song. Kind of like how rappers, when we do these metaphors, no one never really referenced their own record. So I wanted to be the first to kind of play with that. It was done and fun, and it actually became one of the biggest hits off the song.
And will we see more songs like this on the album, or some club hits too?
Yeah, definitely a very high energy, positive album. It definitely also touches into a lot of spirituality that I think is also missing, not just in music, but just in life. The album is really much based on bringing people back spiritually, but still having the most amazing time listening to it. And it actually feels good passing the message in without being corny. Oftentimes when you hear albums that actually have messages to them, it either sounds preachy or sounds gospel or sounds just corny, But I think the perfect medium to be able to make sure that the message is in every song without sounding preachy, but at the same time having just an amazing time with it. The idea is for everybody to just have have fun and feel good when they listen to these records.
What inspires you creatively?
What really inspires me is oftentimes my experiences, Me going through certain things, experiencing certain things, is always make for better content. Because I realized that earlier in my career, that everything that I'm going through, there's millions of other people going through it too. So you always have an audience when you're talking about things that you're actually physically living.
And what instances in your own experience can you think of when you think of, holding out and something developing you for the future?
Right. I always go back to it, but it was me getting locked up. At that time I thought, my life is horrible, it couldn't get no worse. I'm stuck in this cell. But not knowing that, it actually sat me down to really evaluate life in general, because it was all those moments in there that strengthened me, gave me patience that I didn't have. It gave me knowledge of just people that I didn't have. I stopped judging, And most of all, I realized that the mistakes and the decisions that I made is what got me here. I realize, if I continue to live the life that I'm living, this is going to be the rest of my life, and this is what I really want. But oftentimes, you really catch your bearings and realize, I got to make better decisions. I got to move in a more positive direction, and also know that whatever decision I do make, eventually I will be answering for them. That's pretty much a majority of my inspirations. The question is, when will I be inspired, and what is it that's going to naturally connect, and when? You know what I mean? So when I get opportunities like this, where a song like Akon's Beautiful Day becomes something that can literally hug the world, you got to take advantage.
Cool. And what do you think music does for people?
I think that's what really music does. It actually opens your eyes. It makes you feel amazing. It brings you back to memories of times that you was enjoying life, or even going through something depressing, or celebrating something magnificent. And I think music actually touches on those areas. But for the most part, I always so believe that music's purpose was to unite people. This is why I collaborate so much in my career. I always collaborated with different parts of the world, in different languages. I have albums out in different languages right now, from Hindi all the way down to Spanish, you name it. And ultimately, when I realized that music actually united people is when music was also used to actually bring world leaders together. They may not agree on a lot of things policy-wise, but there will be an artist that they may collaborate mentally and be like, man, this is my favorite artist, or a song that they both can relate to and actually agree to actually saying that this is something that brings me down, gives me calm, or even puts them in a better mood to make a decision. So I always feel like music has a spiritual edge to it that actually brings people together.
And back to the collaborations, who have been some of your favorite people to work with?
Ooh, man, everyone that I've collaborated with, I was all fans of myself too, as well. You know what I mean? But I can definitely say the most magnificent collaboration was the one with Michael Jackson. That's the one that was at the end of my to-do list and accomplishments on that 10-year plan that I made when I was locked up. I said, yo, once I make it to the point where I can collaborate, or if ever I collaborate with Michael Jackson, then I've made it to the top and my dreams have come true.
What was that like?
Man, it was unbelievable. Like, it was actually more than I expected, but then less than I expected as well, because I honestly felt like I was gonna get starstruck. Because I had never been starstruck before with no one, right? And I said, the day I meet Mike, I'm definitely gonna be starstruck. And lo and behold, when I met him, it felt like we'd known each other for years. It was like a long lost brother. You know what I mean? Like, we connected instantly. He knew everything about me, which I was superly like surprised. But then of course I knew everything about him because I looked up to him all my life. It was just wild to find out how much we had in common. It was amazing.
And is there anyone that you're still dying to work with that you haven't, or something in the works?
Man, I've kind of worked with everyone that I've dreamed to work with at this point. Now it's really about fulfilling others' dreams, like newer artists that's up and coming that have this fire in their eyes that also wanted to one day work with someone like me. I always kind of built my career off helping others build their careers. I'm gonna definitely do more collaborations with up and coming artists and give them the exposure that they need to become the next biggest things.
Is there anyone right now we should watch out for?
Definitely. I got a few artists that I just recently signed. One is Amira. She's straight from Virginia, but she's an Afropop. She's currently in Nigeria right now promoting her single called Run It. She's about to kill the game. Then I got three sisters out of the Simian Indian tribes. The name of the group is actually called Simian, which is their family name. They're just trio, most beautiful, like talented group of girls I've ever met in my life. I just believe that they're gonna be like stupid, stupid big, right? And then I got a Georgia Rain, who's actually an R&B artist out of Atlanta, who's also gonna be most likely cross over into the pop eventually, because she has this real R&B ethnic side of her that kind of can transfer all the way into the pop side like how SZA did. And I think she's gonna be probably a force to be reckoned with. And last but not least, I have two hip hop artists. One is called Sheesh, two brothers, straight out of Elkhart. And those guys are unbelievable as well. And then we have Flotchy, who's out of Clayton County, Atlanta, who's looking forward to becoming one of the biggest rappers in the South. So I'm really excited about all these guys.
And what's the best piece of advice you can give to these aspiring artists that you wish you could give your younger self?
Oh yeah, I mean, I pretty much learned a lot as we went. The biggest advice I would give to any artist is just, you know, respect the process. Don't think that there's any shortcuts. You have to do certain things that you can't escape, like promote, you gotta meet the DJs, you gotta go to radio stations, you gotta do these drops. Of course, now because social media is so heavy, you gotta be heavily involved in social media, because that's where your fans are actually based now, is direct to consumer, versus back in the day where the labels would just put it on the radio and it find its own audience. Now you actually have to physically go find your audience yourself on social media, communicate, comment, reply, and things of these natures. But for the most part, you gotta be a hard worker. Without the hard work to put in, it's not gonna go anywhere. You can't just sit around and wait for things to happen. You gotta know what your vision is, have a plan, and find a group or a team that's super smart, that's super hype and energetic and believe in you, and you guys gotta go out and get it.
And you're touring. What can fans expect?
Oh man, my fans know what time it is. When we go out there, boy, we go tear roofs off. There's no roof left in the venue by the time we leave out of there. So just come with something that you're willing to sweat in. Come prepared to have your bonnet because your hair is going to be completely wet and tore up by the time you leave the arena. We come to have an amazing time, man. So just expect the most amazing, hyper, nostalgic performance you've ever seen.
What are some of your favorites to perform?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. I don't even know where to start. The catalog starts from top to bottom. We start from the street side of it, more urban, starting with Locked Up, and then by the time we end up to all the records ending up with Sexy Chick. It's like, whoa, just know it's gonna be crazy.
Are there any of your songs that you like didn't think would be a hit and blow up that like surprised you?
Well, one song that did surprise me, because when we first put it out, it didn't blow up. And then 20 years later, thanks to TikTok, it became one of the biggest songs on TikTok last year, which was Belly Dancer, which was crazy because Belly Dancer was my first release before even Locked Up. But that record didn't work. And then next thing you know, 20 years later, it became huge to the point where it became the single to our re-release of the 20th anniversary of Trouble.
And then how did you first get into music?
I got into music by accident. I can't say that music was something that I wanted to do as a child, or this is something I was always inspired to be, because clearly it wasn't. It was a hobby. And it was also a way of me venting at the same time, because the occupation that I was in before wasn't quite legal. So I didn't really have too many people to talk about or share these experiences with. So I just really invested that money into recording studios, and I would make songs about my experiences. And man, fortunately enough for me, because I had that habit when I got locked up, that habit followed me in jail, and I ended up writing about being locked up. And that became the song that changed my life.
And when you're on the road, how do you stay healthy? How do you like keep your voice in check? Do you have any rituals?
No rituals necessarily on the road. I pretty much eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I just try to stay as active as possible, because I tell everybody, you really can eat whatever you want as long as you stay active. Now, if you're eating all kind of hours of the night and eating all kind of food you can imagine, but then you're just sitting on a couch or you're just chilling in the studio doing nothing, you're going to gain weight. Then you're going to start accumulating all kind of things that you need to cure, right? But if you're constantly staying active, your body's always in motion. It's going to always break down everything that you're eating, and you can stay healthy and stay young forever. But you got to stay active, athletic, either working out or you're doing some kind of yoga. If you don't want anything too strenuous, but you have to be physically somehow effective to where your organs are constantly moving around. Me, I'm performing literally every other day. So I already know that I can eat a honey bun at noon when I'm about to be performing at 7 p.m.
What is your favorite comfort food?
My favorite comfort food is probably pizza. Yeah, I love pizza.
And do you have a workout that you do or something to prepare for tour?
Yeah, I mean, I got my basic regimen in the gym when I'm in it. Ultimately, it's all calisthenics, no heavy weighting or anything like that. Just stuff that kind of burn out. Try to do non-weight exercises like pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, you know, dips. Mostly all prison exercises. But one thing I can tell you, it stuck with me. It's still with me no matter what.
And then any travel must-haves?
Yes, before my new product, it was my portable projector. I had a portable projector that I had to have everywhere because, man, I need to go online, I need to watch my Netflix, but I need to watch it in a movie style. But now I got the new Apple Vision Pro, which is like, I just left the projector home. And that Apple Vision Pro, I go everywhere with it. On a plane, I'm like this, just everybody's looking like, who's those alien eyes that he's wearing? Like, but it's like the best thing ever invented. I love it.
What are you watching now? Anything?
Well, right now I'm watching Your Honor. It's a series on Netflix. That's pretty dope.
And how do you relax when you're not working?
When I'm not working, I'm asleep. I try to get a nap in every chance I can get. When I am not sleeping, I got time, I'm bowling. I like to go bowling. Just recently, I caught a new love for golf, so I'm at golf, Top Golf every once in a while, trying to get my drive going. I suck at pucking, but it's gonna come.
And looking back, what's one of your favorite career highlights?
One of my favorite career highlights, I would probably say, would be breaking Lady Gaga. I think that was probably the most challenging part of my career as an entrepreneur, label owner, and as an artist, because I had to toggle between the two of obviously being an artist and actually promoting another, right, at the same exact time. And then I was coming from more of an urban space, so to break an artist from a pop space was also a big learning curve for me. But I realized it was mainly about just believing in that more than anything. To the point where I had to feel like no matter what, we could not fail this. Because if we fail this, it's going to be hard for any other artist that I want to actually sign or put on that level. Like going through that process and seeing the success of it changed everything for me, mentally, as far as what can be possible in this business.
Did you know she was going to be a big star? Did you really feel it?
I believed she was going to be a big star. Now that I know it, no. but I believed it. So we just felt like, man, just fight for what you believe in and just hope what you know will come true.
And then who else are you listening to today?
These days, I kind of like Kid Laroi. I think Kid Laroi is really dope. He kind of reminds me of a younger version of myself. So that's why I think I'm so attached to him.
What's next for you?
Well, next, I want to get into more film and television. I think that's going to be the next step for me for sure. Working on a lot of things in that space. I just partnered up with Kevin Hart. We got a production company called Headliners Only, which is going to be one of the IPs that I put a lot of energy into. The first one was picked up by Netflix, which is more comedy driven, which was with him and Chris Rock. And pretty much the idea is that you have a legendary artist or entertainer or comedian at this point with a more younger, vibrant, and legend at his or her time at this moment. And they kind of interview each other, you know, kind of discuss the challenges, the good, the bad, the uglies. And then they kind of understand where the opt is within the two of them and all the similarities to get into the heights of where they are. And then afterward, they kind of close it out with a huge performance. And the first one was done with Chris Rock and Kevin Hart, which is now on Netflix, so you can get an idea, you can check it out. And then the second one that we're doing is me and Burna Boy. We're gonna go with a theatrical release in March first, and then push it out to all the DSPs in March.
And then beyond that, any more bucket list things?
Oh, it's a lot of bucket list things, but those I'm gonna kind of reveal as we're getting closer to conception.
Since we're Life Minute TV, what's your best piece of life advice?
Best piece of life advice, honestly, put God 100%. Like, I think the trust and the faith of just knowing that God exists and that everything that you do, you have to put God first. I think a lot of the fears will kind of leave. I think people move with life just not really knowing. They say they believe, but they really don't. Because if you really believe, you wouldn't fear death. Because you would know that, okay, the next step is either to meet your maker or whatever that next step is, you're being guided there through your maker. So that idea of just knowing that anything that you actually do, you give that trust 100% in God to know that it's taken care of, you will kind of move a lot quicker in life. You'll be more successful. And then that fear won't slow you down from moving towards accomplishing all the dreams that you want to accomplish. That's how I strengthen it. Whatever I'm afraid of, I walk in it knowing that I'm going to be protected. Regardless of how crazy or scary it may seem, I just know that I'm protected, so I just go and deal with it.
Anything else to add?
Just know that me coming back is more so, I'm wanting to change the energy of where music is. I think the music in the last few years, the vibrations have been really, really low, and there's been a lot more negative influence coming from music versus positive. And I want to be able to present the world a body of work that kind of combats that and kind of restructure and reshape the mindset of what music is supposed to be for actual human beings. And I think if we can utilize it in a way to not only just unite each other, but utilize it to cure each other's thoughts and cure each other's, you know, mindsets on a level of just coming together and doing things together from, you know, a perspective of unity, things can be a lot better on this earth. And I just think that everybody feels like, well, things are going to be the way it is no matter what, so why even try? But the point is, if everybody tried, things would change. But if everybody says, okay, and we all have the same concept that, oh, nothing's going to happen, it is what it is, then it will be what it is, right? So we got to just change our mindsets to know that my little difference can make a big difference in the overall perspective of things if everybody had that one thing that they felt like they can do to contribute to the world's peace.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.